As I referenced at the beginning of the service, as I put this talk together, the climate was a little bit different than it is right now. But even aside from that, I'm sure that a lot of you are thinking, well, our minister, Reverend Mike, has lost his marbles. What are we doing about happy birthday to us? I mean, Birthday Sunday at Unity of Fox Valley is the first Sunday of the month, right? And here we are on the last Sunday of the month talking about happy birthday to us. Well, I can't very well argue that I'm not losing my marbles. But the fact remains that today we celebrate a very significant birthday. And how old are we? Today we are approximately 1,987 years old, because today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Yeah, today is the Feast of Pentecost, regarded by most of the 1.3 billion Christians in the world as the birth of Christianity, the birth of the church. And unfortunately, at least from my perspective, I think in New Thought circles, and that includes Unity, we may have been a little bit guilty of having tossed a baby out with the bathwater. This is because we have lost sight of what Pentecost means, both from a historical and a metaphysical perspective, and how it is so very relevant to what is going on in the world today, what has gone on in our nation this week, and the meaning that it brings to our very own lives. So I want to take the time this morning to read you the passage from the book of Acts that deals with Pentecost. This is in the second chapter. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. And at this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are all of these people who are speaking not Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in our own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others scoffed, "They have had too much new wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk, as you would suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this was spoken about through the prophet Joel." To provide you with a bit of a historical background, Pentecost is the Greek word for the Feast of Weeks, a very prominent holiday in the calendar of ancient Israel, celebrating the Law of Sinai, or the handing down of the Ten Commandments 50 days after the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. It is still celebrated today among Jews as Shavuot. Certainly at the time in which the passage from Acts was written, that would have been somewhere between 110 and 120 of the current era. It would have been known that this was a holiday that would bring Jews from all over the neighboring world to Jerusalem. And there are two important things to point out. The writing of Acts sets the stage for Pentecost on this important established feast day, and in so doing sends the message that it is no longer about the letter of the law, but rather it is about the spirit or the true fulfillment of the law in the hearts of all of humankind. Secondly, through the presence of the story of people from all over the world, the writer tells us that the message is for everybody and not just limited to a few. You do not need to speak a specific language or belong to a select group to be included in the message. It is a message of diversity, a message of embrace, a message of inclusivity. But to really get a sense of the significance of Pentecost, we need to go back a bit further in the gospel stories that are available to us and how the apostles are portrayed throughout those gospel stories. Generally speaking, they are not presented as anything special. In fact, they are cast as being extraordinarily ordinary. They are insecure, inept, they are self-centered and skeptical. I don't know about you, but I have no trouble relating to these guys. At the end of the Gospel of John, following the crucifixion, the writer of that gospel has these guys all holed up in an upper room someplace with the doors and windows boarded up. They are absolutely scared out of their minds, and with good reason. They had just seen their leader, Jesus, pretty much at his at hands of the Romans, and they had no way of knowing if the bad guys might not be returning looking for still more blood. We may not have to worry about the Romans these days, but we have a lot to worry about. We have a lot to be afraid of. Aside from COVID-19, there's plenty to worry and fret over. There is violence in the streets that is as fresh as this morning's news. There are ongoing shootings and deaths of our children in the streets. There is hunger, not just in the world, but in our own communities. There is illness. There is injustice. There is poverty. Our own insecurities and our own addictions threaten us. Our relationships sometimes bring us doubt and concern instead of warmth and comfort. I heard on the news just this past Friday morning, a study was released indicated that 1/3 of all American adults currently are suffering from anxiety or depression or both. This is why the Pentecost story is so important. The newness, the aliveness, the vigor that the handful of those disciples experienced in that upper room was birthed from a place of fear. It was their fear, not just of the Romans, but also of the unknown, that brought them to prayer and the openness to spirit. Yeah, they were scared. But somehow they got it together. They used their fear to springboard into a new awareness. In fact, in zeal, they would end up going forth to live and share that good news in a very, very powerful, special way. They ended up doing much of the same things that Jesus had been doing, performing miracles and healing people. In fact, they became so good at it that, ironically, many of them would end up being martyred, suffering the types of deaths they had at one time so greatly feared and dreaded. Pentecost, more than any other event, earmarks the infusion of spirit and inspires the change of heart that those guys experienced. It is the event of Pentecost that triggers the loving message of Jesus and our shared Christ essence to go viral in the world. That is why it is regarded as the birth of church. Not religion, but church in the truest sense of the word. It parallels the exodus of the Jews in captivity, from captivity in Egypt, except this time the law is interpreted in love and in spirit. Metaphysically, the Pentecost reading is filled with all kinds of goodies. They are in an upper room. The room was boarded up, representing their fears. But that it was an upper room symbolizes that they were ready and receptive to a higher, greater knowing. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, speaks of the wind as life currents that come from within and surround the whole being, the executive power of the mind, clearing the way to higher states of consciousness. If you ever had an aha moment, you know that it is not something subtle. It shows up as if it were some kind of a loud booming voice that just rocks you. Fire is all about spirit. And the tongues of fire are all about illumination, a heightened form of awareness that comes to us after we have opened ourselves up and are ready to receive. Yeah, sometimes in life it could be a gradual process, like a caterpillar that slowly evolves into a butterfly. In some cases, it could be really abrupt, dramatic, a real epiphany, a life changer, as in the case of somebody like Eckhart Tolle. One of the more exciting parts of the story is the part about speaking in tongues. You see, if I truly am filled with the Spirit, language is no barrier. If I am genuinely tuned into and present to you, I can speak to you in the language of love and compassion, and you will hear me. I can speak to you in the language of empathy and understanding. I can speak to you in kindness and acceptance. I can speak to you in recognition, honoring your Christ self. And if I speak to you in these languages, my message will be heard and received. It will make no difference if you are Parthians, Medes, or Elamites. It will make no difference if you are Irish, Polish, or German. It will not matter if you are Chinese, African American, or white. No difference if you are male or female, straight or gay, Republican or Democrat. And no difference if you are 6 or 60. Because language spoken from the heart, from the essence of who you are, always will be spirit-filled and therefore can be heard by others. Lastly, I just love the part at the end of the reading that some of the people heard the message dismissing the apostles as being drunk. Now, this is really cool. Imagine being so intoxicated, not on spirits, but on spirit. To love in a way that so filled you with joy that it just leaves you giddy. I say let's all get arrested for DUI, divining under the influence of spirit. This is not so foreign. There are such saints in the world today, people who are intoxicated by love. One of my favorite modern day heroes was Leo Buscaglia. If you knew him and remembered him, this is just the way he was. It made you just want to go up to him and give him a big, fat, loving bear hug. We celebrate birthdays for a reason. It validates us. Even for those of us who have reached an age where we would really prefer to stop counting, there's this very human tendency to acknowledge at least somewhat on our birthday, to be acknowledged somewhat on our birthday. I admit there's still this little boy in me that starts to get a little excited a few days before my birthday and on my birthday itself. Sometimes over the years, there were times when my daughters were out of town and couldn't be with me on my birthday. Well, and I would say all the right words. Oh, I understand. It's okay. It's only a day. Who wants to be celebrating a birthday at my age anyway? But you know what? Deep down inside, in the recesses of my mind, which is a very scary place, by the way, part of me would be thinking, you dirty no good. What do you mean you're going to miss my birthday? What kind of ungrateful kid are you? My kids, by the way, are incredible and giving and loving to their father in so many ways. We bless people who are having birthdays, and it feels good to be both the blessers and the blessees. And it has a very significant spiritual basis. It says that we celebrate your birthday because you are a unique and wondrous manifestation of the divine. It says that who and what you are accentuates the gift of life that we all share. And I am better. The world is better because you became flesh. It is the same spiritual principle that underpins celebrating Pentecost. With Pentecost, the Word became flesh. It became flesh. It became tangible. It became real. And it became real in fishermen and farmers and tradesmen and tax collectors. It became real in people who were extraordinarily common. Pentecost celebrates a consciousness parented by spirit and expressed in a whole new worldview based in love, a worldview that transcends boundaries and differences and rituals and religion. I'm a big Jesus fan. I definitely embrace him as our way shower. And I can only imagine what it must have been like to witness this guy firsthand. Because he must have oozed and just emanated love and power and beauty. But whatever he ultimately was and whatever he ultimately was about, it could not have taken hold throughout the world had his followers not been open to that same grace. Was Pentecost a miracle? I don't know. I guess it depends on your definition of a miracle. Did Pentecost happen the way the story is told in Acts? Not very likely. Does it make a difference one way or the other? Absolutely not. It is important to keep in mind that what was significant for them is what is significant for us, a shift in consciousness. That they went out and preached the consciousness of Christ was with enough zeal to go viral as it did, confirms a major transition must have taken place, not just in their heads, but in their hearts. Was the awakening that the apostles experienced beyond what we are capable of realizing? No, not a chance. Remember, they were regular folks. Plain Joes, plain Janes, just like us. They heard Jesus' words when he said, "I will send my spirit." And they obviously were paying attention because it sank in at some level when he said, "All that I do, you will do and more." Being receptive to a new awareness and change is in your DNA. That tendency, that awareness is in your very makeup. At your physical birth, your biological makeup was to live and grow at those right times in your life. And so it is with your spiritual growth and development. What held true and was realized by those early followers of Jesus holds true for each and every one of us. Imagine the strength and courage it must have taken for them to go beyond their modest backgrounds, overcome their fears, and embrace an awareness of a loving lifestyle that dismissed that stiff, regulated culture in which they were raised. This morning, I dare you to imagine that same strength and courage dwells in you just waiting to happen. Pentecost marks the birth that resulted from their courage and from their openness. Today we celebrate that reality. But it isn't limited to what may have happened 1987 years ago to a dozen men in Jerusalem. The reason we celebrate it today is because of a mindfulness of what growth we each already have experienced, and in great zeal and in anticipation of what lies ahead for us. So I want to do something a little ceremonious here, if I may. Maybe. I share with you this birthday cake and this birthday cake. Oops. And I'm going to invite David to unmute himself and give us a verse of happy birthday to us.
Okay, how I wish I'd written this song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
And as is traditional at the end of that song, whoever's birthday it is makes a wish and blows out the candle. So I invite all of you because after this we're going to go into meditation. So I invite you all to focus in your mind and your heart your fondest wish, with the understanding that every thought is a prayer. And so this isn't a wish that you're making as much as it is a prayer.